Sometimes it's fun just to draw it out, you know? I tell you what, just sitting over there, standing over there, getting to sing God's praise with my sisters and my brothers, who will be family eternally, is pretty cool. That last song, it's songs like those and like "It Is Well With My Soul" that are some of the most punk rock songs that there are. No, I'm for real. Like it's us as people following Jesus, like just declaring to the enemy, I don't care what you do, whether it's persecution, whether it's suffering, whether it's difficulty, God is still on his throne. He is still good and he's gonna work it for good no matter what you do. And it's just so good to be amongst brothers and sisters declaring it, because my heart alone is weak. It was just such a blessing. So thank you for letting me be a part of this tonight. It's good. It's good to get the opportunity week in and week out to come back and together remind each other of God's promises and God's faithfulness. Community, as Eric was praying, is very important. Quick announcement about community. We value community so much. We don't do it perfectly, but we do it the best that we can with whatever resources that we have. And we've got a really fun event. Community can be deep, and it can be spiritual, and it can be emotional. It can be small groups. It can be big groups, and it can be fun. It can be exciting, and it can just be like just joy and laughter. And so what we're going to do this week on Wednesday is we're going to go play laser tag together. And so if you like that, it's awesome. It's like this indoor and outdoor laser tag space. We've been there a couple of times. It's like highlight event for most people. So if you don't have the Mosaic calendar on your calendar, I encourage you to download that. And what you can do is out there in the lobby at the wall, the Blue Shirt Connect wall, there's a little QR code that you just open up the camera on your phone and like point it at the QR code, and it will like tell you to do some things, and you'll just download it. It's pretty easy. And then it'll let you know what are the things going on, because we have a number of different events that go on throughout the week, and they happen on different nights. So that's just a great way for you to remember what's going on and be reminded. If you have any questions about that, there's some people that have blue shirts on that say blue or ask me. I'd encourage you to ask them if you have any questions. They're a wealth of information that can help you get connected within community here. Let me pray for us, and we'll open up God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you very, very, very much that you are the God that is revealed in these pages of Scripture, that you are sovereign over us, and that you are a God of community, and that you've created us in community and for community. Lord, I just pray that you would help us into this. You're amazing, and we ask these things in the powerful and beautiful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. We have this year done something a little bit unique. Is once a month we will take a step back from our series that we're in, which is in the book of Matthew, and we'll jump into one of the spiritual disciplines or disciplines of the faith. If you've been around for a while, you probably, this is like, you've got it down pat. But if you're new, just spiritual disciplines could be a weird thing. It could sound odd. And so just want to define that for us. What spiritual disciplines are is the means God has given us to cultivate intimacy with him. Like, we were created for relationship with the creator and the sustainer of the universe, and he laid out for us, this is how you cultivate that. So think about it in a relationship with another person. You may have a conversation with them. You may go on an adventure with them. You may watch a movie with them. You may go to dinner with them. Like we understand how you cultivate relationship with other human beings. The way that you do that with the spiritual being that is God is through the disciplines of the faith. And they're demonstrated by Jesus. So if you look through the Gospels and you look at his life, the things that he did, those were disciplines of the faith. And you'll find things like prayer, fasting, silence, solitude, studying Scripture, memorizing, meditating on God's word, worship, celebration, gratitude, and community is one of those. Community is one of the spiritual disciplines. It is so important. It's so important. We were not created to do this life alone. In fact, in Genesis, we see this playing out so well. In Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, you get to see so much of the raw, like undercurrent and foundational things that show us why we are the way that we are. There are only four chapters in all of Scripture where only God's will is done. And that's Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation chapter 21 and 22, right? Between those two chapters, sin is entered into the world. And so... You know, it's a different, unique balance that we all live in. It's weird. It's odd. There are other wills that are not God's done on this earth now. And I'm so excited for Revelation chapter 21 and 22 for us to actually experience that when there's no more pain, no more sadness, no more hurting one another, no more like power struggles, no more gossip, no more suffering and tragedy. I'm way excited for that. But while we're in the middle of it, it's really good to be able to take cues from Scripture to show us how we actually live and interact in these spaces. So in Genesis chapter 1, God has created this incredibly awesome, beautiful world, right? This amazing world, this beautiful creation. And he said afterwards, he looked at it all and he said, it is very good. He looked at everything that he made. He said, behold, it is very good. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verses 18, we have this. God creates a garden, and he has only one human being. It's a man named Adam, and he puts him in this garden to work it and keep it. And he looks at the situation, and he says, then the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. It's not good that the man should be alone. Now, what chapter does sin enter into the world? Chapter 3, yeah, very good. This is chapter 2. In chapter 2, with no sin, there is a not good. So this is important for God to say in this good world that there's something that's not good without sin. This is huge. This is huge. Yeah, it's that bad. And it's probably even worse than that, right? It's not good that the man should be alone. It's not because he was lonely. He wasn't emo and, you know, kicking a can, you know, through the garden, being all sad. Like that. That's not what was going on. It was not good because what we find out in Genesis chapter 1, we'll read it, chapter 1, 26, 27, it says, then God said, let us make mankind or humankind in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. So God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. See, God created humankind to image God. And what we find is that God is community in and of himself. God is one being that exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. We don't have time to jump into that tonight. If you have any questions about that, love to chat with you about it. But the God that we believe in is a communal God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Perfect love, perfect unity within the Godhead in himself. Crazy. And we were created in the image of a communal God, meaning we were created with a need for community. We were created with a longing in the depths of our being, our human self. We were created with a longing to need to be known and accepted. And what I love when science discovers what the Bible has been teaching all along. Matthew Lieberman, he's a professor of psychology at UCLA. He's writing about this idea of community and loneliness. And he's looked at a lot of different research, and he says this, a growing body of research shows that the need to connect socially with others is as basic as our need for food, water, and shelter. Being socially connected is our brain's lifelong passion. It's one of our core basic human needs to be in community, to be known and to be accepted, to be fully known and accepted. We can't be truly loved unless we're fully known. Right? If we're not fully known, then we can only like love a piece of that person. A person can only love a piece of us. It's that only when we are fully known can we be actually, truly, completely, deeply loved. Right? We were created in the image of community. We need community and we long for community. However, right, Genesis chapter 3 happens. Sin enters into the world. The humans, Adam and Eve, they make a choice to rebel against God, to do things their own way. And because of that, sin creeps in and corrupts everything. And get this is crazy. The very first thing that Adam and Eve do when sin is entered into this world, it really reveals a lot about who we are. Now, to set it up, Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, this is the very end of the, you know, good world without sin in the world. And here's what happened. It says, the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Meaning the context we're about to see is they were exposed physically, but it's more than that. Intellectually, emotionally, they knew each other. They were known and they were loved. They were accepted. They were not ashamed. There was no shame, no fear of rejection. No, and the difference between shame and guilt is like, I feel like I did something bad, and shame is I am something bad, right? There was none of that. There was this great love in between them and with God. And here's what happens. Genesis chapter 3, 7 through 8 says, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. So the first thing that they do is they hide, they cover up. Physically. And then it says they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves, right? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. The very first thing they do is shame enters in, and they hide themselves from one another, and they hide themselves from God because they're ashamed. Because there is this fear of rejection. If you knew, if you saw me completely, you would reject me. And so you and I, we live in this tension. We live in this tension that we need community, we long for community, but we're terrified that we're going to be rejected by community. And shame is in there, like working. It's just this horrible magic to make us like fear this, to hide and to cover up. We have all these different methods. We have repression and denial and projection and displacement and regression and all these other, you know, these walls that we put up, these methods that we use to protect ourselves from being known. And yet Jesus steps into the scene and he demonstrates something beautiful. Now, what I want to do is we have an incredible opportunity tonight. We have Kristen Minning with us tonight, and she's all the way from Fort Worth, Texas. She used to be a gigantic part of this community, and then God called them elsewhere, which is really cool that God calls people places, and we get to spread what we're doing here. But I really thought she would have a unique perspective on community, getting to see it before Mosaic and then after Mosaic. So, Kristen, would you come up here and share with us? Yeah, you can clap. That's good. That's good. So, Kristen, is it on?
It is.
It is. Awesome. On. Perfect.
But I wanted to check.
We found that we accidentally coordinated outfits tonight. So that was just, I guess, the Spirit of God. So, Kristen, one of my favorite stories, I'd love for you to open with this, is your first experience coming to Mosaic Church. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I moved to Orlando in May of 2014 and came down, was living with a girl, and she's like, hey, come to church with me. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I need friends and you seem cool, so sounds good. So we end up here at the Holiday Inn on Hotel Plaza Boulevard, and we walk in. I mean, like, we don't even know where to park. I can't even remember how we did that. Certainly didn't have a code. Park somewhere. We somehow make it in the building. And we walk up to the front desk and we're like, hi, nice to meet you. Is there a church that meets here? And the lady looks at us and she's like, no, there's not. I'm sorry. And we're like, oh, yeah, okay. No church, though, you're sure? And she's like, no. We're like, okay. And then we went home. And we didn't go to church that night because I didn't know that it was here in this building because we did not go around the corner to see. And I just like know, you know, when you like know something, even though technically I don't know it, I know that girl was new. And then like one of her coworkers came back and she was like, there's no church that meets here. And they were like, yeah. And she was like, but don't worry, wow. God had plans because we made it back the next week because my roommate at the time had a Facebook friend who checked in at Mosaic Walt Disney World at Hotel Plaza Boulevard, Holiday Inn. We were like, that is the building we were at. That is it. And then we like came back with vengeance. No, I'm just kidding. We came back with the excitement that we actually found the church
building. I can't believe you came back. I'm really glad that you did. But I think if it was that hard to go to church the first time, I probably wouldn't have come back. But I'm really glad that you did. So
me too.
would you kind of on the subject of community, would you tell us about like before you came to Mosaic and kind of before you were a passionate follower of Jesus, what was community like for you? What was it about for you outside, inside the church?
Yeah. So, I grew up inside the church, but I would say not passionate about following the ways of Jesus. And so community, I was part of a really small church plant when I was in junior high and high school. And before that, community looked like felt boards with like sheep and ark and stories. And, you know, so then fast forward to the middle school days, and that's when I kind of start to think about community. And then it looked like youth group, which consisted of like trying to do things that were really fun, that were legal, and avoiding teenage pregnancy at all costs. Like that was the main pillars of youth group. A little bit of, that's my experience. I'm telling my story, you guys. And sorry, I think we have some churched folks in here. Yeah. Can I get a hallelujah? No, I'm just kidding. And so that was my experience. And you know, like I would show up to the Sunday or the Wednesday and to the like fun events. And I had my friends and we were like, okay. And they'd like read scripture or something. And we'd be like, sure. And then we'd go home and we'd hang out in between the Sunday or the Wednesday. And I'd be with my friends and we'd be like, so let's gossip and do other things that 14-year-olds do, you know? And like, it was not really about, like, we didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about youth group other than to be like, yeah, did you see that boy? Oh my gosh, I don't know if he wore deodorant, but he was still kind of cute, you know, like that kind of stuff. And so that was my experience in middle school and kind of leading into high school. And then at some point, I just had like my own personal journey where I was like, hey, I feel like there's all these ways I'm supposed to behave, but I kind of don't understand why, but I feel pressure to like make sure I don't wear a bikini, but like why I don't want to wear one, I'm not really sure. And so I'm just not sure if I want to keep doing this church thing. So when I left my parents' house, I also decided to stop attending church because it hadn't really penetrated any part of my life other than like a Sunday or a Wednesday or changing my behaviors, mostly always to avoid teenage pregnancy. So then in college, I didn't have a community in the church because I didn't go, but I found a community outside of the church. I was a theater major. What up? And I know there's other art kids in here because we're at Walt Disney World campus. So that was my community. And that experience was a lot of people gathering around who were like-minded, talking about, you know, weird things because we were theater kids and just being like together doing fun things, like-minded things, and then also going our separate ways. Yeah. That's community before.
Okay. No, that's great. So tell me if I'm right. What I'm hearing you say is that there was this disconnect between Sunday and or Wednesday and normal life. And because of that, there was a disconnect between the gospel and your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that we would talk briefly about the gospel or how Jesus died for our sins, but it didn't change the way that I saw the people around me living, and it certainly didn't change me to hear those things but not understand what that meant for me when I'm, you know, confused or frustrated. Like when my emotions make me feel crazy or I don't know what to do, I didn't understand that there was supposed to be a connection there, and I didn't personally really like learn any of like the beauty of God's word or why like we would want to worship God with our lives and like why we would want to follow after him and that would be life-giving. I didn't know those things at that time because it just felt like it was a bunch of people who wanted me to behave a certain way, and like it was like my personal relationship with Jesus is what it was about anyway, so I didn't really have to tell people what was up because it was like, oh no, it's my personal thing, so you're not invited into that. Because it's personal. Yeah.
So how did that change when you got to Florida and got involved here?
Yeah. Well, it changed a
after,
lot.
I mean, the second time that you came to church here.
Yeah, I was like, the first time wasn't so different, no. So I'm so thankful for what the Lord did when he brought me here. Because I lived with a girl who was like super into community, and she invited me to keep coming back to church with her. And I started meeting these people out in that lobby who were just interested in me. Like, they just wanted to know me. They wanted to know my story. They wanted to go out to coffee with me and be my friend. And I was like, why? Like, who are you? What do you, why do you care about me? And, as I began to get to know people more and more, I realized that they cared about me because the Bible and the gospel had changed their life and their heart, and they realized that God cared about me and that they had the opportunity to show me that with how they cared about me, and that they realized, like, hey, if we walk together, I can show you a little bit about what Jesus is like. And that's exactly what happened here, is I got surrounded in a community of people who weren't simply getting together to have fun, and they weren't simply getting together to be like-minded, but they were getting together to encourage one another to keep following after Christ in a world that has such different messages than what Scripture says. And they were there to show me and model out, like, this is what it looks like to be in 2014, 15, who knows what the year was at that time, you know, like what it means to love Jesus and work at Walt Disney World and be like, that was, I don't even know if
no,
I answered
totally.
Your question.
Yeah, so you saw this community and you kind of saw things going on that were different, unique, and maybe even attractive. What was it hard to kind of get involved at all? Was it scary? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was both kind of hard and scary. Like, people were welcoming, but there came a time where I remember I was frustrated because I had been like coming to things for a few months, and I was like, okay, like I've been here for a few months, so why am I not like really in the community yet? And like, why don't I have like these real friends? And everything feels shallow. And that was frustrating and scary. And I think that looking back, I think that was a lot of my personal perception. And I also think that I was not really being honest yet with the community. And so things were staying surface level because I wasn't telling them things that were hard to say. And I didn't really even have like the time yet to develop relationships where people were being honest and vulnerable before me and expecting me and asking me and caring for me to do that. And so that just took a little bit of time. And it took like people who I did love, who I was already friends with, saying like, just be patient. And like, I think that you are involved. Like, they want you here, but you know, it's just that it takes a little bit more time. Yeah. So I think that really changed exactly then when I joined a small group, a D group, and we started a Bible study, and things started out really weird because I was like, oh, these girls are not like me. One of them is so quiet and like very kind, and I'm like a little sassy, and I was like, these girls are never going to like me. What's happening? And we just started doing a Bible study together, and every week, slowly but surely, I felt this thing, and I didn't have words for it then, but this big feeling, you know, inside, my like heart is pumping, I'm like starting to get the frog in my throat, like I've got to share more, and I've got to be real. But I was terrified because I just didn't want them to know that, like, I felt like I'm a phony sometimes because I'm not always loving. Or if you knew what I have done, like, you would never look at me the same way again. And I didn't want that to happen. And so the other girls also slowly started to share, and it stopped being just shallow conversations, and they started being broken and honest and vulnerable before God and before me. And I realized, like, this is what I need to do. And so I just started being honest, and there were so many tearful conversations in the living room floor of that house at that time, while we just started to say, hey, like, I am messed up, and I am not perfect, and I am broken, and it was a place where that was okay. And there's not a lot of spaces in our world and in our society where it's okay to not be perfect. And so that was when things really in my life started to change, was because I was able to be accepted for not being perfect and loved. And I learned, like, I didn't learn necessarily just from reading words on a page that that's how God felt about me, but I learned it from people who lived that with me, who lived, Kristen, you're a mess, but I'm choosing you anyway. And like, you hurt my feelings, but I'm choosing you anyway. And you disappoint me, but I'm choosing you anyway. And like, that's when it all changed for me.
Wow. That's awesome. I know that there have been some really instrumental moments where community has come alongside you. Would you mind sharing some of those that, you know, just kind of demonstrate why it's so important and necessary that we are in community?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is the mundane things, like those conversations in the living room or at Oxum that sometimes we're tearful and sometimes we're joyful, and those, like, just every day in the nitty-gritty doing life with each other, reminding one another, like, freedom is towards Jesus, so keep going that way. And I know that's hard, and I know that you feel, you know, alone in this, but, you know, when you finally, like, have the conversation over coffee and you, like, share and you're like, oh my gosh, and I felt like this, and they're like, I've been there, and you're like, oh, wow, great, you too, cool, I'm not a freak. So that stuff was half of it, or not even half, like, you know, so much of it. But also, community is so important because we're not meant to do life alone while we are here, after Genesis 3, but before Revelation 20.
You were all over it. You
know, like, when we're in between, we're not meant to do life alone. So in February of this past year, I lost my dad very suddenly, and I have never seen a community come together quite like this one did for me personally, in just the flood of text messages I got, you know, phone calls, people checking in, people sending cookies and flowers and people caring for me. And I came home to the most ridiculously wonderful homecoming that people had taken time and given money to clean my entire house. They bought us furniture. They set up my bedroom. Like, everything was clean. I'm not clean. I wish I was, but whatever. I'm working through it. And like, everything was so beautiful. And people took the time, like, literally to clean up my life and my space to make sure that I would have a safe and a peaceful place to come home to at a time when, like, you need a house and you need a home. And they were there for me in ways that I'll remember forever, because grief is ridiculously uncomfortable and no one likes to sit in things like that, and nobody likes doing stuff that they're bad at. And if someone, you know, loses somebody close to them, you 100% don't have words to say to them. But people here were willing to sit and be uncomfortable and not have words to say to me and say, I don't even know what you need, but I'm here. And we had a gathering of people after who just listened to me share about my dad, just tell stories, and then just worshiped the Lord through it and prayed for me and made sure that I was doing okay on a soul level, on a spiritual level, in every way. So, like, caring for my needs physically, giving me food, cleaning my house, all that, but also caring for my soul and praying for me and journeying with me and sitting in things that are so uncomfortable at, like, sacrificing themselves to do that. And that's, I mean, I will never forget that. And this community was Jesus for me through that and in that.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that God is with us in our difficulty, and one of the major ways is through his hands and his feet. And I love that you've gotten to experience the community of Jesus coming alongside in those difficult moments. So now you've been removed from here for a couple months, and so you've got to kind of see life outside of here and trying to rebuild community. What's that been like? What are some piece of advice that you might give to us who are sitting here in this community? What are some thoughts you have on that?
Yeah, I think leaving this community was hard because y'all have become my family forever. And so if I could go back and give myself advice or anyone in here, if you're not plugged into community yet, my advice is jump in, because God has so much for you in community that if you say no to community, you're just saying no to hearing from God, from different people and through different lenses, and you're saying no to people helping carry your burdens, and you're just saying no to a lot of really life-giving things. And so if you're not plugged in, you need to be. And so that would be a huge part of it. And if you're there in the frustration part, I've been there. And God sees you in that, and he hasn't forgotten you in that. And so I think, like, be graceful, because community is messy as much as it's amazing. And y'all are so lucky to be a part of this community. Now that I've left, I'm like especially grateful for it. But it is not perfect by any means. And so if you're in that in between, give grace, remember to forgive, and keep going, because I think that in our time and in our generation, we need each other more than ever when we feel like we're connected on social media, and that we don't, you know, like really need to be vulnerable, because people, I already know her, she knows me. More than ever, we need a community like Jesus, who walks in the uncomfortable and walks in the good times. And I think that that's how you're going to change the community that you're in here. And yeah, because that's my story, right? Like, God rescued me in this community through people doing that for me. And how cool that now I get to come back and say, that's my story, and that's how God rescued me, and that could be someone else's story too. So I think my advice is, like, keep going. If you're already doing it, do more. And with whatever resources you have, if you have 10 minutes, then say hey to someone for 10 minutes. And if you have more time, then do that. And if you're not plugged in, I know it's scary, but this is a good place, and the Lord has good things for you with community.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being willing to share with us. I appreciate it. Why don't you guys give a round of applause? Thanks, Kristen. I'm going to invite the band to come back up to help us respond in praising Jesus. And as they do, just a couple last thoughts about community. You know, we have this tension that we talked about in Genesis chapter 1 through 3 of our need, of our longing and our yearning for community that we were created for. And yet this tension of this fear and this difficulty of being rejected, because each and every single one of us know deep inside we're not perfect. And we fear that if people know that we're going to be rejected. And one of the most beautiful aspects of Jesus and what he accomplished is that Jesus, who is the God of the universe, came down and stepped into the middle and the midst of our shame. And he took it upon himself. He died the death that we deserved and raised new life to set us free to be able to live in community, to be invited into his family and be able to have that freedom, to be able to be open and honest and authentic, to be able to have grace upon grace, to be able to have compassion for people and their struggles. It's because of Jesus that you and I are able to live in a community where this can happen. But as Kristen said, this place is not perfect. We will absolutely let one another down. We will. I think it's one of the reasons why Jesus has 59 in the New Testament, 59 commandments regarding one another and how we're supposed to treat one another. 59 commandments about treating one another with compassion, with love, with grace, with humility, with gentleness, because it's hard, because it's difficult, because we hurt one another. It's hard, but it's absolutely worth it. Community is one of the disciplines of the faith, and we get to know God in unique and special ways in community. It's one of the ways that God draws us near to himself, because if all you do is see me, then you're just going to see Brady and my personality and the ways that Jesus has transformed me. But when you get to know community, you begin to see all these different beautiful aspects of Jesus. I love the way that God has rigged it so that we need one another, so that we have to break through the fear by the leading and guiding of his Spirit into community, so that we can have what our heart desires, to be known fully and accepted completely, to be loved by one another and see the love of God reflected in the eyes and the hearts and the mind and the words of his children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are this God, a God that is community, a God that is Father, Son, and Spirit, and that you are a God that has revealed yourself to us, not just in the pages of Scripture, but also through the people that you created, your image bearers. Father, I pray that you would give us courage to take the difficult step past the fear that you have died to set us free from, into community. Lord, I pray that we'd have grace upon grace for one another, that we'd have compassion for one another, that we would bear with one another's burdens, that we'd walk with one another, that we would be your hands and feet and comfort one another. Thank you for Jesus, who died and rose again so that we might not have to be enslaved to shame. Thank you so much for giving us this community. I pray that you'd use us in mighty ways for your glory, to reach out to one another and care for one another, walk alongside one another and carry one another when need be. You're awesome. Fill us with your praise so that we might respond appropriately to your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.